when I watched the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, I was like, wow, this Patrick, this is amazing. I almost was more impressed than a lot of the wins. Uh-huh. Just like how little support Patrick had and how well he was playing and what he was doing to make it work. And this game was like Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, which I'll start off by saying I was wrong about Patrick Mahomes. I didn't think he'd be a good NFL quarterback. But it's because he looked like this.
Right, yeah.
Like, that wasn't very... And I'm not saying he sucks or anything like that, but, like, you just don't have any support, and you look like that, and you could tell he was flustered and making this... Like, the pick to Cooper DeJean, that's a mistake he never makes. Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, 2 days removed from the Super Bowl. So know you're excited to talk about. I think this is the second Super Bowl the Eagles have won while we've been having the podcast, because I think we started.
That was one of our very first episodes. What was either previewing or reviewing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nick Foles. Talked more about Nick Foles on this podcast than anybody else has.
That's true. We did talk a lot about Nick Foles there. So congrats, you're 2, I'm 0, which bums me out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we've been doing it like 7 years. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we've been doing this a while. It's been good. Yeah, there's been a couple of breaks, but not for more than a couple months, I don't think so.
No. We have a lot of thoughts on the Super Bowl, obviously, both Chiefs and Eagles, and just NFL related. So excited to get into it. Shall we start with the ick of the week, Matt, though?
Yes, let's do it.
If you remember, last week's was being an only child.
Uh-huh.
This week's ick, which I'm more than guilty of, is not checking the mail.
Not checking the mail.
I think checking and opening mail is like my least favorite household chore. I'd rather do laundry or dishes or anything else, honestly.
Yeah, that's fair. I get that.
Just can't stand it. I finally like took a bunch of my mail to work in between calls was going through it. That's and my funny. Boss was making fun of me. But it's like, I don't got time to just sit at home and do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Got to do it on company time.
Well, yeah, because, you know, sometimes it's like they do like sometimes they make things look important, you know, so you got to like check things. And
yeah.
So.
Well, that's fair. Well, let's talk football. I have a few things I want to touch on. Do you just want to take the floor, though? I know this is your shining moment. Fantasy football champ, Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Fantasy football champ, because I had Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. Couldn't get Jalen Hurts, unfortunately. With Jake Elliott, obviously the defense. Yeah. So a lot to talk about, and yeah, I'm not going to go on, you know, a continuous rant without Lee talking. I think initial impression is that I was totally confident the Eagles were going to win. The reason that I thought, or that last week I thought that it was going to be close, is not that I didn't think the Eagles were going to play that good. I severely underestimated how bad the Chiefs' offensive line was going to play. I mean, that for me is the story of it. As good as that defense was, defense played, and like obviously all credit to them, but like that was like Bingham playing Granger High School. You know, that was just one team is so much more physically talented than the other one. Like, it was like we were playing a high school style defense. No disguises, no disguising coverages, no rotating our defensive linemen around or anything. Nobody coming over or under anything. It was just like our four guys are going to push your five offensive linemen into Patrick Mahomes, which is also going to close all of the lanes from which he would escape from.
Yeah. It was worse. I'm trying not to have reason bias, but I think it might have been worse than the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. At least Patrick looked worse because of the pressure than they did in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would need to watch the Tampa Bay one again, but that seemed like, you know, before the podcast, and you might talk about this, but how generating pressure is different than generating sacks, and it seemed like the Tampa Bay one was like, it was more that sack kind of pressure where Patrick had places to go. It just didn't look like he had anywhere to go because the pocket was collapsing basically at the same speed from all five of his linemen into him.
Yeah. When I watched the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, I was like, wow, this Patrick, this is amazing. I almost was more impressed than a lot of the wins. Uh-huh. Just like how little support Patrick had and how well he was playing and what he was doing to make it work. And this game was like Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, which I'll start off by saying I was wrong about Patrick Mahomes. I didn't think he'd be a good NFL quarterback. But it's because he looked like this.
Right, yeah.
Like, that wasn't very... And I'm not saying he sucks or anything like that, but, like, you just don't have any support, and you look like that, and you could tell he was flustered and making mistakes. Like, the pick to Cooper DeJean, that's a mistake he never makes.
Yeah, that one. And I know he was, you know, we pushed a lineman into him as he threw the one to Zach Bond, but, like, Zach Bond was right there. He was looking at Zach Bond.
Yeah, he was just... I've never seen him so flustered or pressed. In the NFL.
Yeah, it was kind of the first time that we've seen a great player have a bad game in the sense that we were in Chile during the Miami Heat championship games. And so we kind of missed a lot of those LeBron performances that people criticized. Because in Cleveland, I know he only won one finals against a Warrior. I thought that every finals series that he played was phenomenal.
Yeah. Like,
this was crazy.
100%.
But shout out to, I mean, I think that Josh Sweat should have been the MVP if you have to pick one. But if they could have given it to the defensive line, that's what I would have loved to see. We had sacks from 2 third-rounders, a 4th-rounder, and a 7th-rounder in that game. Both of the interceptions were on plays where Josh Sweat created pressure. He had 2.5 sacks. Yeah, he had the game of his life heading into free agency.
What was it? Milton Williams, the defensive lineman, too.
Yeah,
Milton tackle.
Yeah, so he actually was a third round pick. I think we thought he was the 7th. Our 7th was a defensive tackle from Texas. I think this year, Moro Ojomo.
Oh, he's good though, Joe. I remember him at Texas. I actually forgot. I also forgot Felix Hunt. Is that his name?
Jalux Hunt.
I forgot he played for you guys, too.
Yeah, he was a safety at Cornell and then went to a place that was called Texas Baptist, but then while he was there, changed its name to Texas. It was Texas Christian something. It wasn't just Texas Christian because that's TCU. But yeah, Jalux Hunt having a sack. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. had a great tackle on special teams and then did his dad's celebration.
It's pretty cool.
Like, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, like, I've just been thinking back on this defense. Every single player on this defense has had some sort of a game-changing play at some point in the season. Right? And that's why it's so good. Like, when we talk about, like, really, really great defenses, like, I don't know that I've seen one as well balanced as this. Like, the Broncos were really good. I felt like that was really heavily defensive line focused. The Seahawks, very, very good. Secondary focused. But this is like, you know, everybody, you know, Quinyon Mitchell shutting people down, Cooper DeJean having the pick six, CJ Gardner-Johnson having, you know, game-sealing interceptions. N'Kobe Dean had a game-sealing interception, who obviously didn't play in this game, the way the defensive line has played. Avonte Maddox was the one who, you know, I've complained about a lot. He was the one who stopped their 4th-down conversion, which led to the Devonta Smith 50-yard touchdown. And so it's just like every single guy is making important contributions. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Williams made a lot of money for himself. Great game.
Yes.
To pop off.
Yeah, yeah, good for him. Yeah, he is going to make that money back from the dunk in free agency for sure.
It's so interesting. I wonder, because it really is a copycat league, so I wonder if every defensive lineman in the draft got a bump up.
I mean, it's hard to see that they wouldn't.
You know what's interesting? It's like the Eagles use so many picks on defensive linemen. Who's like the worst defensive lineman pick in the first like few rounds? I can't think of, because I wouldn't consider Jordan Davis was never going to play like 80% of the snaps.
And, right.
Like, so I think he's doing exactly what he's expected to do and does it very well.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, huge step this year.
Uh-huh.
But even Jalen Carter, the first, you know, whatever, last year was really good player. Like, they've missed at receiver. They've missed at other things. I'm not sure they've missed at defensive line.
Not the draft. I mean, they tried to get Bryce Huff to work, and that hasn't worked. But it didn't matter.
I forgot he was on the team.
Yeah, because you're drafting Moro Ojomo in the seventh round. So who cares if, like, you didn't spend the 50 that, like, and that's a great thing about so many shots. Like, the draft really is just throwing darts at a dartboard. You're going to miss a few, yeah. You know, but you just got to do it. And I think, like, that's why Howie's so good, is that you forget the mistakes that he does make at receiver because he figures it out. You forget the mistakes, if he does have any, at defensive offensive line because he takes so many shots that it's just going
to
work out.
And even receivers, to be fair, I kind of consider him 2 for 3. Jalen Reagor, I like coming out of TCU. This is making me sound bad looking and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work out. But first, Donvonta Smith traded up. Was it with the Cowboys or ahead of the Cowboys?
We traded up ahead of the Cowboys, or with the Cowboys, because they traded back to 12 and got Micah Parsons.
And you got I would consider Devonta Smith a hit.
For sure.
And then you use the... your first round pick on AJ Brown. It wasn't a draft pick, but like you used that to get AJ Brown.
Yeah. I should have taken a picture of this, but that both of the picks from the Carson Wentz trade, they in some form or fashion turned into AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, Jalen Carter, and one other really good player.
Well, I saw that and it was Cooper DeJean, but I was like, how did that pick last so long?
I'm sure that it's like, you know, packaged with other things, and I'm sure we had to add other things, so it's like, I'm sure though, like, it's not just only it's Carson like a, Wentz picks,
yeah,
but like things we wouldn't be able to do
without the Carson Wentz picks.
We had done that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, like people forget that people were mad at him for taking Jalen Hurts when we had Carson Wentz because nobody saw him falling off a cliff.
No.
Which he did in that year, which was nuts.
He was so good until he got hurt, Carson
yeah.
Wentz.
MVP candidate.
It's crazy. He was back up on the Chiefs last night, back up nights ago.
Yeah, no, I did definitely think, like, if Patrick Mahomes did get hurt, obviously you don't want him to get hurt, seeing Carson Wentz would have been very, very interesting.
Would have been hilarious, yeah. Yeah, that Rams game week, I thought Carson Wentz should be the MVP before he got hurt in week 11 or whatever against
right.
the Rams.
Yeah, I think he would have won if he wouldn't have got hurt.
And then Nick Foles. We do talk too much about Nick Foles on this show.
Hey, the man has got a statue outside of the stadium.
One thing I don't appreciate from kind of talk are two things. One is the Chiefs dynasty is over.
Uh-huh.
Like, they could, if they win next year, 3 for 4, we're still very much in the middle of it. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And two, I don't, oh, it's like Tom Brady, like the GOAT debate is over. Like Patrick Mahomes is like 28 or something like that.
Yes, no, yeah, like I understand that you're not going to say it this year, but to your point, if he wins next year.
I wasn't at a point where I was going to be like, oh, he's better than Brady.
Yeah.
We would have had a better resume up to this point of their careers.
Right, yeah.
But we got so long to go.
You do have so long to go. I think that, yeah, something that was brought up a lot this week that is almost never brought up is that Tom Brady did beat him twice head-to-head. And I think if you're trying to pass Tom Brady, I think that has to matter a lot. I think that you need 8, maybe 9 Super Bowls because he gets you 2 times head-to-head.
It's crazy playoffs. Tom Brady has so many. You need 8 or 9.
Yeah.
It's crazy Tom Brady has more than any team. That's insane.
It really is crazy.
Tom Brady was so good.
He was so good.
I do miss Greg Olsen. I thought Brady did fine on the broadcast, but Greg Olsen I still think is the best.
I think that's fair. Speaking of things that bug us in this conversation, there's been a lot of, like, this isn't anybody's, like, take, but people are kind of using this as a point to talk about how Jalen Hurts had a great game, and he absolutely did have a great game. But a lot of people, like, Saquon has a bad game, and then Jalen Hurts does so good. And it's like, do you remember when that one coach decided that he was going to have 2 guys stick to Steph Curry the whole time And so basically it was 4-on-3 and then Davidson won by 40 points.
Yeah, in March Madness, I believe, right? Or was it just a regular?
It was a regular season game. And some coach just decided, I'm going to hold Steph Curry scoreless. And so he's like, and like afterwards the team was excited, but it's like, but and nobody cares. That's just like a loser attitude to play defense that way. That's not what Spagnuolo did. But, like, obviously the reason that Jalen Hurts did so good is because they had to key in so much on Saquon. Like, saying he had a bad game is stupid.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And, by the way, he had 97 yards, if you include his receiving. So,
yeah.
I don't know what you want from him. But, yeah, that was my favorite quote the whole week, as someone asked him about how the Chiefs are so focused on stopping him. And he's like, hey, look, if you want to leave A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith in single coverage every single time, I mean, good luck, I guess.
Saquon said that?
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's so crazy because everyone before the Super Bowl, and I was very much in this camp, it was like the Eagles' defensive line is better than the Chiefs' offensive line. I think the Eagles secondary is better than the Chiefs receivers. Eagles offensive line is better than the Chiefs defensive line. Obviously, Chris Jones is really good. But as a whole, Eagles receivers better than the Chiefs secondary. Trent McDuffie, again, all pro, but just collective units. And then for the Chiefs, is like, well, they have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Steve Spagnuolo. And for me, it was Patrick Mahomes and Steve Spagnuolo. I was like, that seems like enough. And it wasn't.
Right, yeah.
Which is so crazy.
Well, it's because, like, I was thinking about this. What position group on the Eagles would you not say is a top five group? The offensive line is. The receivers are. The running back is. The defensive line is. The linebackers, the N'Kobe Dean, are.
Yeah, well, especially because that's the weakest one, but you have Zach Bond, who is the best defense player of the year candidate. So
yeah, so with so Zach that Bond gets the bump. N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Secondary is. The only one that you wouldn't say is, I don't know if you would have said defensive line before the Super Bowl. After watching the Super Bowl, they're absolutely one of the top five in the league.
I think I would have. I don't know. I'd have to count. Yeah. Quarterback is one where maybe not.
Yeah. Well, the reason you wouldn't have said with defensive line is just the edge rushers, were perceived as a weakness or just not as strong as the other groups.
Yeah.
And with quarterback, it's like, so as far as talent, I think people are still putting Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow ahead of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, are you sure you want Justin Herbert more than Jalen Hurts?
I honestly, I'm not sure I want Josh Allen more. Like, right. I know we all love him, and he's a great great in October, but, like, we just have so many years of him not doing what Jalen Hurts just did. Obviously, the Eagles are better than the Bills, but, like, if Josh Allen's so great and Jalen Hurts is so terrible,
yeah,
you think one time he would have beaten the Chiefs.
He's had enough chances to do it.
Yeah, he's just shown me that he's, like, really good in October, and if it's January, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts, I think.
There has to come a point.
Yeah. This is great. Went to Wyoming. Cool story. He's a giant San Francisco Giants fan, so I have to stand by him. But I think we just have to be realistic. Like, just because we like him, he's also good at fantasy football. I think it is. I honestly think fantasy football is a big part of it.
For sure. Yeah.
I also don't get why Lamar was first team all pro and Josh Allen was the MVP.
Yeah, that doesn't. Is it the same people that vote for it?
Yeah.
That. I don't know what you're supposed to do with that.
I don't either. I think because if Lamar would have won, he would have had 3, and Josh would have had 0. Who cares? That's not what it's about. It's just 2024. Who is more valuable?
Absolutely. Well, the answer to that is Saquon Barkley. I think if you look at the way that the Chiefs defense had to play and what the Eagles offense was able to do, I don't know how you could say it wasn't Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
So, did he just have the best season by a running back ever?
The Philadelphia Eagles believe so, because they tweeted that out.
Because, I mean, like,
are we counting, like, winning the Super Bowl and stuff?
Yes. We're counting winning the Super Bowl. We're counting coming from a season where he had 1,300 yards and just a whole career that's been riddled with injuries and everything on the Giants. We're counting the huge runs. I think we're factoring in all of the times that he got to the 1 yard line and then wasn't given the opportunity to score. Because the touchdowns are the things that people are going to look back at, and they're going to find other running backs who score more touchdowns. That's going to be the thing.
Yeah. Well, because it's Eric Dickerson didn't win the Super Bowl, his big year. Mm-hmm. Chris Johnson, his big year. I'm not sure the Titans made the playoffs, but they definitely didn't win the Super Bowl. Walter Payton, I don't think 85 was like a killer year. I don't think that was his best year. Barry Sanders played in Detroit, so if we're factoring in team success to it, then he has to be out. I'd have to look at Emmitt Smith's years with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's that, and, you know, it was Terrell Davis's years, like, just, did he only have, like, 2 good years with the Broncos? Is that why we don't talk about him very much?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, a running back having a better season than this. It's hard to think of, you know, any free agent coming in and having this big of an impact.
Yeah.
And changing the culture. Because the implosion, it just seemed like a lot of it had to do with cultural issues. And Saquon is just such, like, a powerful force on the sideline. Like, I love hearing mic'd up. He talks to the defense so much to get people excited and motivated. He's so happy when anybody else scores. Him, when Will Shipley scored, I've never seen a football player that happy about anything.
In the NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
Man, one thing I just thought, how good are the Rams?
Yeah, Rams look good.
Because you just house the Commanders and the Chiefs, obviously.
Uh-huh.
The Packers game, the Eagles were in control, but the Packers defense probably did the best. I don't know stats-wise, but I would out of anyone in the playoffs on the Eagles. The Packers are a team, I think, before the Super Bowl, I was like, the Packers might be my pick to at least win the NFC next year just because they're so young. Mm-hmm. Might have to reconsider that with the Eagles, how they're playing. But, Eagles, 4 very good teams that they beat. And they really haven't – they're only lost since, like, September. Jalen Hurts got hurted.
Yeah.
As it was to Washington.
Right.
And they didn't just win. They were winning comfortably in, like, all of those games. I think we were so obsessed with Detroit, who did start off better, and the Eagles, you know, had that 2-2 or 2-1 or whatever, 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think how we missed this. Is it just a Patrick thing where we just blinded by Detroit in the NFC? I think that was most of the talk. Yeah, was it last year's collapse that Philly had?
I think it was last year's collapse. But I don't understand. I said on the podcast a lot of times, Detroit's defense can't handle that much injuries. I know they're great, but that's just not possible for anybody. I don't understand how nobody got that.
Yeah.
I know they kept winning games, but it's like, you're going to go to the playoffs and you can't play 3 deep at every position on defense.
Well, in hindsight, they wouldn't have been able to do anything against Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Or Philadelphia, for that matter.
Yeah.
Looking back. Now, did I pick Philadelphia or Detroit? I don't remember. I honestly don't even remember.
I thought you picked Philly.
I kind of thought I did too, but it was because of the injuries.
Right, yeah.
To the defense.
Which I think is fair. I think I still would have picked Philly, but we didn't get to see the defense too much, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Detroit play Philadelphia.
That would have been fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a good chance we probably will next year. I mean, we'll see what happens with those coordinators.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm just trying to think. I mean, for me, the Chiefs were never going to not go to the Super Bowl. They were always going to win the AFC.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And it really was. It was Philadelphia. It was Detroit had their injuries. I never thought Washington had serious chance of beating them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vikings until week 18 did great. How's Kobe Bryant 3 on this list?
We're watching NBA today, and it's like most loyal players.
Right? John Stockton better be 1 if that's what we're doing.
Yeah, him and Karl Malone.
Well, Malone played for the Lakers for a year, so I don't think he'd be on the list.
Tim Duncan will be here.
Oh, yeah. Stockton better be 1. I'll say that. Yeah. Anyway, Tim Duncan's too, so Stockton better be one. I just come back like the Rams who are trading Cooper Kupp, according to Cooper Kupp. And that was it. It really was kind of Philadelphia's tournament.
Yeah. I've said on this podcast a couple of times, I know this is asking for too much, but I don't understand why we don't win every game by 50 points. And then you watch the Super Bowl and it's like, oh, we could have won this by 50 points. And that was another thing with Saquon, is that it ceased to be like in that whole second half, it wasn't run to score a touchdown. It was run, if we run 5 minutes off the clock and then make a field goal, then we're going to win. So that's just what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, what a game for Jake Elliott, who has had the worst year of his career by far. 4 for 4 on field goals. I think, I don't know the shortest, but 2 48-yarders, 1 50-yarder, a guy who's gone 1 for 7 on 50-yard field goals this year. And on all three of the long ones, there were false start penalties, so he kicked it, but then moved back 5 yards and then made it again anyway. Like, what a solid, solid performance from him.
It was funny, because when you're talking about your fantasy team, you're like, I had Jake Elliott. I was like, well, that probably hurt you more than helped you, but it worked out in the Super Bowl.
It worked out in the Super Bowl, so yeah, I'm so proud of that guy. I heard this story on Good Morning Football. It came up on Twitter. I don't know if you've heard this, but he was at a pep rally, and they called people down at the pep rally to see if they could make a field goal, and he just drilled it. And if that wouldn't have happened, he wouldn't have played football.
Oh, like in high school or something
Yeah, in high school. He's a freshman. And then he didn't play football 2 years because he was on the tennis team. And then the football coach was like, look, we really, really have to have you be a kicker. And then they said he made a 52-yard field goal in his first game.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Just naturally talented?
I guess so. So, I mean, so proud of Jake Elliott. I mean, we only punted twice the whole game. No one is going to be able to say anything to Jalen Hurts ever again for the rest of his career. Right?
Was that his best game besides the other Super Bowl?
The other Super Bowl, yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, that Pittsburgh game was really good. You know, the NFC title game, he played really, really well.
Yeah.
His scrambling in this was amazing, and I think that needs to go into the way that we evaluate quarterbacks, because I think if he doesn't run those, maybe, you know, maybe he can find somebody else to throw it to. But if that running lane is available and he can do it and so many other quarterbacks can't, I don't think that should take away from his art talent. We need to view that as an additional skill that he has.
He looked so fast yesterday or Sunday.
Yes, he looked faster than he has in like 2 years.
Somehow. Yeah. That was crazy.
Crazy. So, yeah. And he just connected on every single deep ball except for, you know, the one where Nick Bolton came totally unblocked. And that was his problem at the beginning of the year. It was just one of those balls that you know it's an interception as soon as he throws it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hitting Jahan Dotson, hitting Devontae Smith, hitting A.J. Brown on the one that got called back for the offensive pass interference that neither of us nor anybody on the call of the game liked.
Yeah, that was an insane PI, I think.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, and then, but you know, the one on Trent McDuffie hitting Dallas Goedert was kind of a makeup call, so it works out, but yeah. No, people are going to look at the score and they're going to forget how much of a blowout this was. I think the Chiefs easily could have had 6 points and the Eagles, I think, easily could have had 55 again.
Well, it was 34-0.
Yeah.
Like, that was a dominating, because at the halftime, you were a little bit like, well, the Chiefs are probably going to figure it out. I was like the same thing. I was like, they're going to come out. Like, it can't be this bad.
They're going to just, well, yeah, and it's like, was that, I mean, I would need to think about it, but that's statistically, I think, the worst half of football I've ever seen on any level.
It literally was like, I'm sure no one remembers this, but a few years ago, BYU played LSU. In college football, BYU, and actually Michigan did the same thing BYU, but they didn't cross midfield,
yeah,
like BYU in the LSU game,
right?
And I'm sure the Michigan game either. And it was literally just like, oh, like LSU just has better athletes at every single position by a lot.
Right.
And Tanner Mangum, was that our quarterback's name back then?
Yes, Tanner Mangum.
Yeah. Tanner Mangum, he literally would get the ball and there'd be a 270-pound kid from Louisiana in his face. And he's like, what am I supposed to, like.
No, it looked like Snow College playing Alabama.
It wasn't.
They had 23 yards in the first half and the Eagles had 24 points.
Yeah, it's insane. Well, they had, what, one first down in the first half, and it was the first play?
It was the first play of the game, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second half, they go three and out, and then Jalen Hurts hits that bomb to Devonta Smith. I was like, oh, it really is over.
Yeah.
It was insane. I just never believed it was happening until it was 34-0.
Right, well, because there's just so much mystique around Patrick Mahomes that regardless of everything that our eyes were showing us, like with this, like when this was happening in the Seahawks-Broncos game, we knew that was over with the safety at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, literally like the first play, I was like, oh.
So that's how crazy the mystique around Patrick Mahomes is. And it's deserved because he's played phenomenal. And he did, like, even that Super Bowl loss against Tampa was absolutely phenomenal. But there was no evidence that said that the Chiefs had any chance in this game.
It's so crazy that with the Broncos, the year Peyton Manning, like, broke the passing record and everything, they got their, you know, embarrassed in the Super Bowl. And then the year he could barely walk, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I would be interested to watch that Seahawks game again just to figure out what happened.
I was in the fetal position for that whole thing because, you know, obviously the Niners. The Seahawks and the Rams have won the Super Bowl pretty recently. That bums me out.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, so Jalen Hurts, a couple things. Only quarterback drafted after Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl, which is crazy. First quarterback to I was confused about this. Maybe you can clarify. You were saying the first quarterback to lose in his Super Bowl debut and make it back since Jim Kelly. I did some research. It looked like John Elway lost his first Super Bowl. Is that wrong?
Maybe Jim Kelly was after that.
Well, yeah, but John Elway won in like 97 or 98, so I would have thought that would have put him.
Well, yeah, I guess Jim Kelly.
So I was confused about that statistic.
Yeah, but I think that's dumb because, like, Brock Purdy is one of those. I was like, he's on his rookie contract still, or, you know, or, like, Joe Burrow is one of those.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, for those guys, I don't think it matters, but I do think it's mentally very hard. I mean, the Super Bowl, if you go back and look at teams that lose the Super Bowl, it really destroys teams. I mean, that's, I think, a lot of what happened in the Eagles meltdown. You know, we saw what happened to the 49ers this year.
Both times, like in the last 5 years, the Niners have missed the playoffs after the Super Bowl.
We thought that the Seahawks were going to go on and win 5 of 8 Super Bowls or something crazy. And then after that Malcolm Butler interception, they were just never good again.
Which I still think was the right play called by Seattle. I want to have that on record as much as possible.
Yeah. So to be able to have the mental fortitude to just as a team be able to do this, and like I said, I think Saquon has a lot to do with it, is incredibly impressive. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how the Chiefs respond, how the Chiefs try to rebuild.
Do we think, well, that was actually one of the questions, like, what do the Chiefs do? Because it's funny, if they win the game, it's like, oh, they're the Chiefs, they're fine. Now they lose the game, it's like, oh, they need a left tackle, probably another guard, probably right tackle, probably another defensive tackle, another set. Like, they need all these things all of a sudden.
Yeah, which, and that's, you know, if you win a lot, you get worse draft picks, and it gets harder and harder to replace those players. So they might kind of be stuck. But yeah, like, and,
like, I don't know. I'd have to look at, like, draft boards and things like that, but, like, I'm not sure. Because they tried to draft Kingsley. Well, they didn't try to. They drafted Kingsley Suamata, a BYU tackle. He started the first game or two, and then he couldn't play. Like, he's got to step up.
Right.
But if he doesn't, like, drafting another rookie offensive tackle, I don't think it's going to solve the problem.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know what they're supposed to do. Nobody's going to want to trade a left tackle that's going to fix the problem. And even if they did, like, let's say they have a good left tackle in that Super Bowl. I don't know if that changes the outcome at all. Like, just with the way that the pocket was collapsing so strong, I still feel like on the right side and through the middle, it's still collapsing way too fast.
Yeah. I don't know. I literally don't know. And all of a sudden, losing exposes a lot of issues.
Yeah. So it does. Well, and you do wonder, you know, regression to the mean. And I was interested in talking about this with the Eagles defense. But, like, do they win all of those one-point games next year? They still have Patrick Mahomes. I think he wins a lot of them. I don't know that he wins 100% of them like he did this year.
Yeah. So, I don't. I know. That's actually my biggest question mark. I still don't know what Nick Sirianni does for you guys.
He wins.
Like, honestly, if his greatest strength is hiring coordinators, then that's a very good quality to have. So, and that's great. And we saw, like, with good coordinators, they went to the Super Bowl. Bad coordinators, they collapsed. Good coordinators, they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, if that's what he does, then sign him up for 10 more years, you know?
I mean, his players seem to really like him and how spirited he is. I still can't decide if he and Jalen Hurts get along. I'm still not 100% sure. Like, when that, after the NFC Championship game, when Jalen Hurts was like, he let me out of a straitjacket, I think that Jalen Hurts was joking, but I also think that he feels like he's in a straitjacket a lot of times.
There's a lot of truth in jest.
Yeah.
To quote Eminem.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I think that, yeah, if he does the emotional thing, it sounds like, yeah, so... Kellen Moore has officially been hired by the Saints, so good luck to him. It sounds like we're going to hire a guy who's been kind of like Nick Sirianni's assistant head coach. Right now he's the passing game coordinator. It sounds like he's going to get promoted to offensive coordinator, which I hope means that he's going to be able to stick with a similar system. I think he's been able to watch Jalen Hurts for his whole career, except for that first, you know, Doug Peterson year. And I think is going to be able to see, okay, these are the things that work. This is what haven't worked. And it's interesting because I do think next year, I bet more teams are going to try, despite what happened in the Super Bowl, I think more teams are going to try to key in on Saquon Barkley. So I think it's going to be harder for him to go for 2,000 yards next year. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. I mean, I would be a little bit surprised just because it's remarkable. You need a little bit of luck to do that no matter what. But I think Jalen Hurts is going to have more opportunities next year just because of natural regression to the mean.
Yeah. Do you think it's more likely that the Chiefs or the Eagles do not win their division next year?
So I would say the problem is that everybody else in the Chiefs division is bad, except for maybe the Chargers, but they got smoked by the Texans. So the Chiefs have that in their favor, so that's why I still think they're going to win their division. The Eagles have the Commanders to deal with, and the Commanders are good, but we also scored 55 points on them.
Yeah.
Over the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, we scored 95 points.
That's kind of my thing, though, is I think the Commanders are better than the Chargers and the Broncos. You know what's annoying is this was the first season of my life I was like, oh, I'll watch the Broncos. I won't, like, turn them off no matter what. And all of a sudden, Broncos fans are – so I was telling you about this off-air, but one of the beat writers was like, the Eagles proved that the way to beat the Chiefs is creating pressure with four, which, first of all, that's nearly impossible. And second of all, of course, that's how you beat anybody if you can do that.
Yeah.
Second of all, then he followed up by saying, good news for the Broncos, they were first in sacks this year in the NFL. They were second in blitz rate. So it's the opposite. Like, what the Broncos were doing to create pressure is the opposite of what the Eagles were doing.
Right, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is fantastic against the blitz. So that point just disproves that.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen just a bunch of stuff from Broncos fans where I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, one of them said it was more fluky that the Broncos lost to the Chiefs than when the Chiefs, like, got smoked by the Broncos with all their backups in. And he was like, it's a missed field goal. I was like, well, the Chiefs special team coach identified the fish field goal protection unit.
Right.
Overloaded that side. That's not a fluke. That's coaching.
Yeah, that's you guys have a bad...
Yeah.
Protection.
And if the Chiefs are playing literally all their backups, you don't have to call it a fluke, but it's not real, you know?
Yeah.
Like, y'all went 10-7. So I don't like how arrogant Bronco fans are getting. But I do think it's weird because them and the Chargers, I think, are good. So there's two teams in that division. Then we both think the Cowboys are going to be bad and the Giants will be bad.
Yeah.
The Eagles could be, again, you want to knock on wood for this?
Yeah, I'll do it.
But if they win the NFC East next year, I think it'll be the first time since like 2002 or something that the NFC East has had a...
It will have been a very long time.
Defending champ.
Yeah. No, but I mean, so Eagles free agents, everybody on offense is coming back as far as I can tell. I don't know Jahan Dotson's contract, actually.
I think Lane Johnson will not retire.
Lane Johnson will not retire. Kenny Gainwell is a free agent. I love Kenny Gainwell. I think he's an important part of the team. He's also back
in
running back.
It's Will Shipley time in Philadelphia, I say.
Will Shipley, hey, Will Shipley score. He's been great. But yeah, so Zach Bond, I think there's no way that they don't figure out how to pay him. And then I think you're choosing between Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, and Josh Sweat. I think you probably lose two of those guys if you're lucky just one.
I would assume Becton's gone and Steen becomes a starter.
That seems the most likely. Although I have seen Mekhi Becton has cried three times this season because he's so happy to be on a winning team. If I'm Mekhi Becton, I think you seriously have to consider taking less for better quality of life. Because it clearly means a lot to you. And, like, I just think that he's going to be happier playing for the Eagles than he was for the Jets or if he goes to the Giants or whatever.
Well, let's say he signs a 3-year contract with the Eagles that's below market value.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, a 2-year deal with the Saints that pays him a ton of money. New York, he was not good. Which is why the Eagles got him in the first place.
Right.
Like, he could be out of the league in a couple of years if he does poorly again.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll be the case, but, like, that might be the better financial play is to stay with Philadelphia. I don't think that'll happen, but...
Yeah. It's tricky, and, like, money's so hard, and I know that so many professional athletes do end up losing all the money, so you do want to get as much as you can. And maybe he decides this was great, but I want to prove myself as a tackle. I know I can be a tackle in this league. And if that's what he wants, then, you know, good for him.
I think Josh Sweat was the other guy, Milton Williams.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard. I don't have the Eagles cap thing, but I just remember looking at it and thinking it'd be hard to keep multiple. I bet, like, they might have to choose one of those guys. And Zach Bond's probably the best out of those, Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah.
But how he does value the defensive line more than linebackers, we've just seen in the way he's invested resources.
That's definitely true. I will say, I thought the problem with the defense last year, besides the secondary, is if a running back got to the second level, there was just no resistance. And that, to me, that's why Zach Bond is so important, is because now running backs hardly ever get past the second line, and the forced fumbles and the interceptions that he does. But the amount of tackles that he gets is just incredible. So I think you got to take him. And Howie Roseman has basically said that he's going to re-sign him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe...
You have, because you've invested so many more resources, you have a lot of more guys coming up the ranks in the defensive line than you do a linebacker.
Yes.
Yeah, so that could be a reason to keep Zach.
Because it's going to be... Yeah, so basically it's you're going with... So N'Kobe Dean is here to stay for a while. But then, yeah, if you don't keep Zach Bond, it's hard. Rookie linebacker is kind of even harder than defensive line. So yeah. You're probably going with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who's good, but we're definitely going to take a step back.
I do think linebacker for rookies, not accounting quarterback, probably maybe the hardest position, I think, as a rookie,
right?
That adjustment.
Yeah.
So if you're the Eagles, let's talk draft because we're getting into draft season now. And we'll talk about the Chiefs too. I'm in no necessarily order, but I want some sort of tackle because Lane Johnson's not going to play forever.
Right.
I want a third receiver.
I agree.
Late round, there's such a deep running back class. Kenneth Gainwell's probably leaving. Lee can be like the fifth or sixth round, but probably not a running back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind another safety.
Yes, yeah, we didn't have a backup.
Probably a linebacker or two.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing. Like, they still can take. They're in a position where they can. Whatever they take is going to help them. So it's not like, oh, we can't take.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I still think third receiver would be helpful. They clearly are fine with just those two. But I still think a third receiver would be good.
I think so. Well, and what I think Howie does really well, and the reason he can do this is because he's built the roster so well, is that they take the best player available in the position. Now, it will be a position of need. They're not going to take the best player available at, you know, quarterback, right? But, like, the reason they drafted Quinyon Mitchell, they were going to draft a tackle, but then when Quinyon Mitchell fell, it's like, oh, we have to take him. And then you get to the second round, and you realize that Cooper DeJean's available. It's like, we've got to take him. He's just so good. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think they're going to say, these are the players we like. These are the positions that we need. And then I think they have the luxury of just getting value players, players that fall to them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, people criticize Howie for just taking the consensus best guy available. I don't think that's the worst strategy.
Yeah, you do not have to prove that you're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, just if everyone thinks the guy's really good, just take him.
Yeah.
Well, because he said, I think relatively recently, but like when Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, he was like, they were literally like a tie basically. So he was like, well, we'll get Quinyon Mitchell. And then Cooper's still available, and it's like, we have to get this guy.
Yeah.
So.
And then you saw it in the Super Bowl, pick six on his birthday.
He's so athletic. Now, if you're the Chiefs, again, we're not relying on rookies to fix 2025, but you still do have to look at the roster. I want several offensive linemen, probably at least two. Sure. A high pick and then another later pick.
Mm-hmm.
I want a couple more receivers. DeAndre Hopkins might be back next year, probably not, maybe, whatever. Like, it's basically Xavier Worthy. Travis Kelce might not even be back.
Yeah.
So, two, at least a couple pass catchers. I'd say more than that. I could use another edge rusher. Really, you can't use too many draft picks on the offensive or defensive lines, but you still do need some other positions.
Yeah.
So, they're in all of a sudden in a tougher spot. I still think they're the Chiefs, so I think they'll be fine. But it does look a little more complicated now that they just got their butts kicked.
Yeah, because it's just clear that, like, if we don't fix these issues, we're not going to be able to win.
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, what a year, what a team, what a story. You know, we just talked about how much money Zach Bond's going to make. I don't think either of us had ever heard of him, including you, which is saying something.
Yeah, I don't know where he went to college. I'm going to Google that right now.
Wisconsin.
Actually, that sounds familiar. Yeah. You say that.
Yeah. N'Kobe Dean taking a step up. See, that everybody on the defense that we brought back got better. I don't know that I've ever seen that on any team ever, that everybody took a step forward at the same time.
Yeah. Are you ready for the top five this week?
I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is Super Bowl related since, you know, we're riding the wave.
Mm-hmm.
The top five cities that have hosted the most Super Bowls.
The most Super Bowls.
Throughout history.
The most Super Bowls. So I don't think New Orleans is number one. I do think New Orleans is on the list.
It's tied for one.
Oh, tied for one?
Yeah.
Okay.
With 11.
So, with 11, really, that is a lot. I think that Atlanta is on the list.
Atlanta's tied for six.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
With
three.
With three. Interesting. Okay. Miami.
Miami's also tied for one with 11.
There we go.
So you just need three, four, and five. Four's hard. Three and five make sense. Four, yeah. I think, is a little trickier.
How about Dallas?
Dallas isn't even on the list.
Dallas is not on the list. Weirdly
enough, yeah.
Is there a Texas on the list?
Nope.
That surprises me.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Houston has three also. I lied.
Okay.
So Houston's tied for six.
Houston's tied for six. Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. So we've said Miami, and I think I don't think it's going to be Orlando. We've said Louisiana. Is Minnesota that four surprising one?
No.
I thought they could have been because of Dome, but maybe the Dome is a more recent thing.
Not Minnesota.
I don't... No. I'm stuck. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is 3 with 8 times.
So Los Angeles is 3. It's just that there's not... I feel like I'm running out of warm places on the East Coast and kind of the West Coast. Yeah, not Texas is weird. So my choices really at this point, I think, are Phoenix and, I don't know, maybe Nashville. But I haven't heard of a Super Bowl in Nashville, so I guess I'm just going to say Phoenix.
Phoenix is number 5 with 4.
So what am I missing? So I've got 1, 1, and 2. So I just need this number 4 that you said is kind of a weird one.
Yeah. Now, it's still an NFL team, so it's not like Oklahoma City or anything.
Yeah. So Philadelphia might not have ever hosted one. New York, I imagine, is too cold. Indianapolis has had a bunch, right?
They've had a bunch of college. I don't know if they've had Super Bowl before.
Real? I thought they had.
I'm sure they have, but...
Interesting. So Indianapolis is not on the list. Is that the right kind of thing? Like a dome team in the...
No, it's a warm weather state.
It's a warm weather state. Okay. So, is it a state that I've already mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
Once you hear it, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But it's just like probably not the first. It's not like as big of a city as what we're talking about.
Is it Tampa?
It is Tampa. Okay. Tampa, Florida has hosted 5 Super Bowls.
So 16 Super Bowls.
Yeah. So top 5 record, 24 Jake, 19 for Matt. Pretty even so far. It's kind of hard to find ones that like are challenging but not like too hard, you know. Well, congratulations on your Super Bowl win. Well, that was 15 minutes. We were worried we might not have enough time.
Oh, I didn't. I was very happy to talk about everybody.
Well, happy football season. Sad it's over. Congratulations to you on your win. Remember, again, subscribe, review, rate, all that good stuff. We'll talk to you guys next week.